You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast on this Thursday, September 20th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. If you like the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Well, it is game day, the Jets and Cleveland Browns. Thursday night football tonight from Cleveland. And on today's show, we're going to preview the game. We'll use our traditional format. One key player on offense, one key player on defense, one key matchup on offense, one key matchup on defense, one key to victory on offense, one key to victory on defense. And I'll tell you, I hate Thursday night football for a lot of reasons, but hey, it's a Jets game tonight. A Jets game comes a little early, so that's exciting stuff. Let's jump into our preview. And on offense, my key player is Robbie Anderson, a guy who, let's be honest, is not off to a very good start this year, despite his touchdown catch on opening night against the Detroit Lions. And it was a 41-yarder. It was a big play in that game, a Jets victory. But Anderson is just not off to the type of start you wanted to see him get off to. And this was supposed to be a year where Anderson took the next step. You were hoping to see him become a legitimate go-to guy in this league. I don't love the phrase number one receiver because I think it lacks nuance in a lot of ways. I think that, you know, your team's best player is a number one receiver. Question for me is more, is he the type of guy you can run your passing attack through? And to this point in 2018, you have not seen Anderson take that next step. You know, again, he had the 41-yard touchdown on opening night, but through two games, 68 yards. That's not going to get it done. That's not enough. Only four catches. I mean, that's not a very good pace. A 68-yard pace is, and I hate to use the, I hate to extrapolate over the course of an entire season because we're only talking about two games so far. So, the sample size is very small, but, if you're 68 yards in two games, that's a pace of around 550 yards over the course of an entire season, a 16-game season. So it's not necessarily meaningful because we're still early enough in the season where, the sample size is small, but it shows you the type of start he's off to. And, there's plenty of talk about the reasons. Sam Darnold's strength is not necessarily the deep ball. This offense is not necessarily built around the deep ball. But the biggest problem here is that Anderson has not shown to this point, and, maybe it will start changing tonight. And, the hope that it will start changing tonight is the reason he's my key player on offense. There's a reason you should try and develop more parts of your game. There's a reason you need to be better. You need to be good at more than one thing. At this point, Anderson's shown that he's an excellent deep ball player. He's an excellent guy on deep routes when it comes to running. It's not just about speed. It's not just about the fact that Anderson's fast. Yes, that is an important part of being a good deep route runner. But he can run a number of different deep routes. He tracks the ball well. So, he's got the deep ball down, but he doesn't have a whole lot else in his game. You think about another guy who's a little undersized, but very fast, an excellent deep ball, deep ball receiver. It's DeSean Jackson, but Jackson has more elements to his game, and he's not necessarily the best rounded receiver, but he can do other things. He's a guy who's dangerous on screens. He can take a shallow crossing route. He's a guy who's explosive with the ball in his hands. That's not Anderson at this point. And I'm not sure that being explosive with the ball in your hands is necessarily something that's developable. I think Anderson's just going to have to become a better route runner in other areas of his game. It's something he has not shown yet. I think back to the preseason, there was a third down play where he cut his route short of the sticks, which is a no-no. You think about certain other plays where maybe he did not win contested catches where he could have. There were some drops. So lots of questions to answer for Robbie Anderson. Is he going to become a legitimate go-to guy in this league, or is he going to be the type of guy who you know, is just a nice deep ball player. And there's nothing, look, it's certainly can be helpful if you have a guy who can take the top off of defense, a guy who can hold the safeties deep. I'm not saying that lacks value, but given the expectations people had on him, I mean, I heard lots of talk about how he was going to become a Pro Bowl caliber receiver, how this was going to be, you know, 1,200, 1,400 yard season. He was going to show he was a legitimate go-to guy. We haven't seen that yet this year, so lots of question marks for Robbie Anderson entering this game. So that's why he's my guy. He's my key player on offense. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with a guy who has played very well, I think, through the first two games. That's Jamal Adams. He's off to an excellent start. You know, when we're talking about guys who Jets fans were looking to take the next step this year, through two games, Jamal Adams has taken the next step. He's been making plays left and right. You know, he had his first interception. That was kind of in garbage time, but he's been a guy who's been solid in coverage. He's broken up a few passes with big hits. He's been active in the run game. Even his highest profile quote-unquote failure really was not his fault. That was the 3rd-and-19 on Sunday for Miami. Rich Gannon called Adams out, and you know, it's amazing the power these analysts on TV have, because lots of people blamed Adams for that play, for losing Frank Gore. You watch that play over, and it was not Adams' fault. And on his social media page this week, on his Instagram, somebody called him out, and he even kind of confirmed that it wasn't his fault. So, you know, Adams is off to a tremendous start. I think he's my key player because, A, you want to see him keep it going. You know, don't want to see him let up. But B, this was a matchup where he had some trouble a year ago. This was one of his worst games. So when the Jets went to Cleveland early season, he had a rough time. He was beaten in coverage for a touchdown by David Njoku. So it's a chance for him to attain some measure of revenge for a poor performance in this game a year ago. You know, a matchup that gave him a little bit of trouble. So, you know, a little two-edged sword here, so to speak. You know, first of all, guy who can make some impact plays. If the Jets are going to win, I would not be surprised that Adams making a game-changing play, a big play in this game, would be part of the mix. I think that that's quite possible. And also, he's just, you know, this is a matchup where he had some trouble last year. This was an opponent that gave him some trouble a year ago. Again, it was one of his worst games, and he was off to a pretty good start last season. And, you know, his year kind of turned up and down. This was not a turning point in the sense that it turned him into a bad player, but his rookie year was a little up and down, and this, I think, was really the first down last season. So we'll see whether Adams can attain some measure of retribution by having a strong game tonight. My bookie is slammed with new bettors, and they want to give everybody the best service possible. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25, that's LOCKEDON25, the number 25, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today, that's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON number 2, number 5, when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get an additional $25 free play. You play, you win, you get paid. We all love a night out, whether it's a show, whether it's a concert, whether you're heading out to Cleveland to see the Jets play. And with Vivid Seats, you can attend the event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source of tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code of $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for orders of $20 or more of orders over $200. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. We are here previewing the Jets and Browns Week 3 Thursday Night Football. We're going to look at a key matchup on offense and a key matchup on defense. And on the offensive side of the ball, it's deja vu all over again. Last week we talked a little bit about Kelvin Beachum, how important he was, how the Jets needed to see him bounce back, and they did not get it. They did not get a strong performance out of Kelvin Beachum. Week 2 against the Dolphins, they're going to hope for something a little bit better tonight. And they were going up against Miami edge rushers Robert Quinn and Cameron Wake. And, you know, in the aftermath of that game, in the aftermath of that loss to Miami where Beachum did not play well, there were lots of people out there kind of excusing his performance because of the caliber of player he was going up against. And look, I'm not telling you that Robert Quinn and Cameron Wake are bad players. I'm not telling you that they do not remain productive players. But I think the way people are talking about this as though Robert Quinn is the 19 sack guy he was back in 2013. And people are talking about Cameron Wake as though he's the 15 sack guy he was back in 2012. These guys are productive players. And listen, they're not weaknesses for Miami. This is not like the greatest 1-2 pass rush team in the NFL. These are guys who have fallen off a little bit. These are not, you know, people are talking about these guys as though they're still in their prime. They're still peak players. They're not. This was a matchup that Beachum should have performed better in, and he did not. And that's troubling for the Jets because you don't want a rookie quarterback to have to worry about his left tackle. That's a spot you don't want a rookie quarterback to be worried about his blind side. You want to, and most importantly, you don't want to have to worry about that because rookie quarterback is your prized asset. It's your prized possession. You don't want him to take a big hit that he can't see coming. So Beachum is a really important part of this team. And listen, he missed a lot of training camp, but we're in week 3 now. So it's time for him to start performing because the Jets really need him to play effective football. You know, this is a pretty important guy he's blocking for in Sam Darnold. So the Jets need to see that what he's done so far is not good enough. And this is a scary matchup for the Jets because it's up against a guy who has the talent of the number one overall pick in the draft. That's Myles Garrett, who, you know, is off to a pretty good start this season. And he's the type of guy who, you know, potentially could be a game-wrecking type player. So that's a key matchup. The Jets need a better performance out of Beachum. The Jets need him to neutralize Garrett. And I'm sure the Jets are going to use their tight ends in this game to help out a little bit because I know as the Jets are game planning this, they're going to they don't want Garrett to win this one-on-one. We know the Jets love to use the tight ends. This actually would be a good spot for the tight ends just to help out a little bit on Garrett. And I know, you know, you're probably not going to leave a tight end one-on-one with Garrett very much, but even if it's just a little chip to help beach him out as somebody's releasing into his route, and so I'm sure there will be points where they just leave a tight end in and have them double-team Garrett with Beachum. This is an important matchup, though, for the Jets. I don't think there's any question about it. And it's the type of matchup that, you know, this is the type of matchup that could destroy the game if Beachum does not play an effective four quarters tonight. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, I beg your pardon, I'm also going to look at an edge matchup versus a left tackle, and I'm going to look at Brandon Copeland against Desmond Harrison. And it's just really, really strange to look at this Cleveland Browns team and think that they don't have a rock-solid left tackle, because for over a decade, they had the most rock-solid left tackle in the league. They had a surefire first-ballot Hall of Famer, a guy who probably just doesn't get the credit he deserves because the Browns were so bad during his time with the team. I mean, I think their only winning season was his rookie year, Joe Thomas. Thomas is now gone. Desmond Harrison, who is an undrafted rookie, is now their left tackle. So you want to talk about precarious situations. Maybe that's playing into the Browns sitting Baker Mayfield early in his career. And he's up against Brandon Copeland, who has been, I think, one of the pleasant surprises for this Jets football team so far this season. He's actually done a pretty good job generating a pass rush off the edge. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know what his role was going to be on this team, because he's done a little edge work in the past. He's done played a little off-ball linebacker. He's been a special teamer. So I had no idea what the Jets were thinking of using, or at least the role the Jets were thinking of using him in. He's been mainly an edge guy, and you know, he had an effective week too. He was constantly in the backfield, had a sack, had a couple more disruptive plays. So a guy who is off to a surprisingly good start for this team, and we'll see whether he can continue it. That's a matchup, you know, and we know that Harrison, again, the rookie undrafted left tackle, it's very rare you see an undrafted rookie playing left tackle for a team. That's an area where I think Browns fans might be a little concerned. That's an area where the Jets might be able to exploit a few things. You know, so that's a spot where I'm not sure Brandon Copeland is a game wrecker the way Myles Garrett is. But it's a matchup I have my eyes on, because it's a potential problem area for the Browns, especially if Copeland continues the strong play he showed in the Week 2 game against Miami. Here today on the Locked On Jets podcast, we're previewing Thursday Night Football Week 3 between the Jets and Browns. And to finish our show, we're going to give a key to victory on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, I'm going to say be boring, play it safe on early downs. I think this is a game where it's going to be important to stay ahead of schedule on offense. And the reason for that is the style of this Browns defense. Defensive coordinator Greg Williams is a very aggressive guy. I think Greg Williams is a quality defensive coordinator. I've actually argued this quite a bit in the past. I know there are some people who are down on him a little bit. I've argued that he was really important back in New Orleans. Now, obviously, there was another situation going on there, but we're just talking about his work building a scheme. I mean, I think he was really important in the Super Bowl they won back in 2009. I think, you know, he's a quality coordinator. Now, that said, I mean, I don't get what all these articles this week about him. You'd think he was like the greatest defensive, you know, the greatest innovator in the history of the league. I mean, it's like article after article just fawning over how great of a defensive mind Greg Williams is. I mean, you would think he was there with Tom Landry inventing the 4-3 defense, the way this guy's being called an innovator this week. Again, I think he's a good coach, but geez, I mean, they're laying it on a little. I mean, God. The amount of praise Greg Williams is getting this week. But that said, I think it's important for the Jets to stay ahead of schedule, which means a lot of pretty simple plays, even if you're not taking a ton of shots. And listen, you're going to have to time your shots, and that's where, you know, maybe you'll expect Robbie Anderson to step up. I think, though, the Jets need to play it safe, though. Establish the run game, get some easy completions, some pretty simple completions so that you're ahead of the sticks. On third down, because again, you know, so look, Sam Darnold's advanced for a rookie, but he's going to see some weird looks. And if he's put into a situation where he has to throw, if he's put into an obvious passing down, he's going to see some even weirder looks. And you know, this is the stat, I'll give you the stat of the day. It's from Warren Sharp, who runs some excellent football sites, excellent statistical sites. And it's a tweet he made back on August 22nd. And he talks about Greg Williams. Last year, blitzed only 27% of the time on first down. That rose to 58%. He only blitzed 27% of the time on first down. On third down, blitzed 58% of the time. 58% of the time. That's the number one most. He was the most blitz-heavy defensive coordinator in the NFL last year on third down. So you don't want to get into situation. You don't want to get into third and nine, third and ten. You want it to be manageable. You want the run to be, see, the playbook's open when it's third and three, third and four. You can do anything. You can still potentially run the ball, which limits what the defense can do schematically, because it has to account for the run. And when you have to account for the run, it means you have to be a little less exotic. You can't be quite as aggressive in the passing game, because only playing in the pass means that you're susceptible to the run. You get to third and nine, third and ten, you can't run the ball. And that's when you see the really wild looks. And again, I think the media has gone a little overboard this week on crowning Greg Williams the greatest defensive coach in the history of football. But he's still a quality coach, and he's still going to throw some pretty interesting looks tonight at Sam Darnold. Darnold's advanced, and Darnold may get some big plays off it because he's shown an ability to do that. But he's still a rookie. He's still going to, you know, make mistakes here or there. You don't want to put him in position to make mistakes. And on the defensive side of the ball, it's something I've said before, and you know it's interesting because Tyrod Taylor is a very familiar opponent for the Jets. They faced him twice a year. They faced him twice a year for the last few years. I know 2016 the Bills benched him before the Week 17 game, but Tyrod Taylor's a familiar opponent for the Jets, and he's also a familiar opponent on Thursday Night Football because the Jets have played the Bills 3 years in a row on Thursday Night Football up to this year, and Tyrod Taylor has been the Buffalo starting quarterback. So I guess the new tradition is the Jets playing Tyrod Taylor on Thursday Night Football. But you know, before those Bills games, I said the same thing. I said one thing frequently, and that's contain Tyrod Taylor. Force him to be in the pocket. He's not a guy who loves staying in the pocket, going through progressions. He's a guy who frequently will just take the safe pass play. You know, he's not a guy who likes to push it down the field. There's a lot of Alex Smith and Tyrod Taylor, I think. And there's good in that and there's bad in that. And to be honest with you, I feel like Tyrod Taylor is a guy who's gone from being kind of overrated. You know, I remember there were points where people wanted to give him a blank check to come to the Jets, be their franchise quarterback when it looked like he was being Buffalo. And I was like, really, Tyrod Taylor's the guy you want? And now I think he's a little underappreciated because, you know, you listen to some people. First of all, the Bills dump him unceremoniously. Now Cleveland, the people there aren't that happy with him. I mean, he's a guy who has some skills. But when he makes big plays, it tends to be when he gets on the move, whether it's, you know, and sometimes it's throwing the ball when he breaks the pocket. Sometimes it's just running. He's a guy you want to contain. You want to keep him in the pocket. And it's always important to get pressure on the quarterback. But I think the pass rush needs to be controlled. I think the guys need to stay in their lanes as they collapse the pocket. Don't over-pursue. Don't get caught too far upfield and give him a running lane. Contain him. Keep him in the pocket. Because if you do that, he's going to take a lot of checkdowns. He'll take a lot of safe throws. There aren't going to be as many dynamic plays for this Cleveland offense. So that's an important. I think that for me, that's important. It's not just collapsing. It's important to get pressure. It's important to collapse the pocket, but it's also important to stay disciplined, to stay in your lane, to stay in your gap, to not, you know, shoot yourself, run yourself out of the play, because that's when big plays are going to happen. If you contain Taylor to the pocket, He'll make some smart decisions. He's not going to force. And one of the things that's good about Tyrod Taylor is he protects the football. He's smart with the football. He's not going to do stupid things with the football. But he's not going to make big plays if you keep him in the pocket. You know, he's going to take the safe throws. He's not going to put the ball into danger. And sometimes you have to put the ball into danger to make big plays. So that's my key for the Jets. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be back tomorrow to recap Week 3 between the Jets and the Cleveland Browns.